Bernie and Brother John, I think I met standing in line in a church in Pensacola several years ago. I met Brother Fred when he preached down there. And last year I got to meet Mom. She reminded me so much of my mother that there's a real special connection there. Godly lady praying for kids that are a mess. That's what my mom did. And so, amen. So, and I feel I feel like we fit right in here. And then I find an old 82nd Airborne paratrooper here, too. So that's the icing on the cake, man. I fit right in.
Amen.
Amen. I like this. I didn't get this till tonight. Brother Castro, you got two pictures on that track. And this is B.C., that's before Christ. And you said this is A.D., and I figured out that means after the dummy got saved. That's what AD stands for. Amen. Amen. And let me say this about, pastors take notes when I preach and then they come up here and kind of wrap up the service like that. I start taking notes while they're talking. I got them written all over my message, yeah. But you know what he said about if I could, I would. I'd travel around the country. I'd preach. I'd preach for free. I'd pay you if I could. So let's make a covenant here. When I win the lottery, yeah, then I'll start preaching for free. Amen. And I will tithe. Of course, I haven't bought a ticket since I got saved. But so that probably ain't going to happen soon.
Amen.
What we've had here this week is a revival meeting. And that's what it's been. It's been a meeting. And we've asked God to speak to our hearts. Various people have prayed. I prayed. Ask God to do what only he can do. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And now the meeting is coming to a close. But if God did anything to revive your heart, your desire to be closer to him, your desire to live right, get victory over sin, get in that Bible, that doesn't have to end with the last amen today.
Right. Right.
And if God really did anything this week, it won't. So, I'm sad that it's coming to a close as far as this fellowship and this gathering that we've been worshiping God together. But my soul, what God does here doesn't end tonight.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you for letting us have a part of it. And open your Bibles now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll try not to be real long, which isn't possible, but I'll try. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And the Word of God says this: fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Notice in the beginning of that passage, it says this: fight the good fight of faith. I'd like to ask my paratrooper comrade to pray for this service tonight. Brother Alejandro, would you do that for me, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before your mighty throne of mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, in the presence. And God,
please,
I pray,
bless
Lord,
this
you anoint
dear brother.
Brother Savior, and anoint him, Lord, tonight.
Yes,
Lord, help him preach your precious
God,
word,
please,
Lord. So
use that, brother.
Yes.
God, may we
hear
from heaven this evening. And God, may every soul here tonight, Lord, receive it openly. And God, if there be any person here, Lord, that don't know you personally as your Savior, Lord, tonight would be the day of salvation. God, I just pray now that you be with each and every one tonight, Lord. Have us to be faithful after the services and the fellowship tonight, Lord. May we go home and change people. And,
yes, Lord.
Lord, be using you, Lord. And most of all, that we may draw closer to you. And thank you, Lord, through when everything's said and done, Lord, that you be glorified.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We just pray these things now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Fight the good fight of faith. Can I just say tonight that I'm glad that's in there?
Yes.
Amen. Hey, man, I was a paratrooper. I was an infantryman. What the military spent a lot of money on was teaching me how to fight. That's what I learned there. I didn't get a skill that I could market. Amen. On my DD-214 under the civilian equivalent for your military occupational specialty, mine says none.
Yeah.
Amen. There is no civilian equivalent for what the military taught me, so I just did what came natural. I joined the bike gang and fist fought for the next 15 years. Amen. And then I got saved. And I'll tell you what, there's a great misconception out there that Christians are wimps.
Yeah.
Amen. And I've been in the penitentiaries, and I've had to straighten that out a few times. I've challenged a room full of convicts. I said, anybody who thinks this Christian's a wimp, me and you can go out in the yard right now. I don't advise that evangelistic method, especially now that I'm over 50, but hey, listen, the toughest men and women that ever lived for God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that I didn't have to become a wimp to be a child of God or a preacher. I'm glad the passage says fight the good fight. I'm glad we can still fight, only this is going to be the right fight.
Yeah,
and the right thing. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. I want to wrap this thing up by encouraging you to fight the good fight. And but let me say this. There's a lot of bad fights. There's a lot of bad fights, and that's not what we're supposed to be involved in. Americans like to get involved in causes. Boy, if anybody knows that, you folks in California do.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what, doesn't the beautiful Golden State attract a lot of weirdos?
Yeah.
Amen. Environmentalists. Amen. Amen. Anybody that thinks that trees or animals are more important than human life is mental.
Yeah.
That's what it says. E-N-V-I-R-O-N, mental. That's what that is. Amen. Amen. But boy, I'll tell you what, people have spent money, time, effort, make sacrifices over causes that don't mean a stinking thing. Boy, and we got something to get in on called the good fight.
Amen.
Listen, there's a pastor over in Columbus, Ohio, and his name's Jimmy Hood, and he runs a rescue mission, and I got called to preach. Down there filling the pulpit in his rescue mission just before I was to be sentenced to the penitentiary. And Brother Hood goes down to the state capitol there in Ohio and preaches. And one time he was down there, and the environmentalists were down there doing something, and they got intimidated that he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they started yelling things and trying. They were distracting the people that were listening to the preaching. And he said, "This isn't good, man. This isn't good. This is just sowing confusion." So he went back. He got his men. He said, "We're not going to stand out here and yell back and forth at these people. We're going to go pray about what to do." And he decided the best thing he could do is make friends with them. So he got him a couple environmental-friendly bumper stickers to put on the church van so that when they went back the next week, these folks would see Amazing Grace Baptist Church there, and they'd see these bumper stickers and realize that we're not their enemies. And Brotherhood's a blessing. He was a heroin addict. Amen. He was a biker. And he was out there on the street for a lot of years, and God saved him.
Amen.
And changed him. So he put these stickers. One of them said this. It said, "Timber Wolf." You know, everybody's worried about endangered species. So he got this bumper sticker. It said, "Timber Wolf, the other white meat." Amen. He's trying to, you know, break the ice with the. Then the other one else said, "Bald Eagle, tastes like chicken." Amen. That environmental thing, listen, I'm not for messing up the environment. Amen. But listen, folks, that ain't the good fight.
Right.
Amen. I heard a preacher telling about following a log truck through Missouri, and it had a bumper sticker on it. It had the globe, you know, the world, and it said Earth First. You know, he said, "Wow, that's a strange bumper sticker to be on a logging truck," you know, and he got up close behind it. And it said, "Earth first," and then it said, "We'll log the other planets later." Now listen to me. I was in Massachusetts 2 weeks ago, upstate New York, Connecticut, and we've been all across this country. In September, we're in the Rocky Mountains, and we drive all over this country trying to preach, sing a little bit. Let me tell you something. No matter what they tell you on TV, there's no tree shortage. You might not be able to prove that living right here. Amen. But let me tell you, there's plenty of trees in America. Amen. Except for Arizona. I don't, man, that's a whole nother story. But my Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Amen. There's bad fights. That environmental thing, that isn't a good fight. But people sure put a lot of energy into it. When did God Christians get as fired up about the cause of Jesus Christ? And some folks get about things like politics. Listen, when I got saved, the guy I went to work for building steel buildings listened to Rush Limbaugh. And I'd never heard of Rush Limbaugh. I didn't even know they still had AM radio. Amen. And so he listened to that, not listened to the guy. It was interesting, you know, there were things. And, but he kept talking about Bill Clinton. Hey, let's face it. We survived Bill Clinton. We would have survived John Kerry. And if Hillary gets elected, I predict the rapture will be November 5th, 2008. But I know some Christians that know more about current events in politics than they do their Bible. That's not the good fight. And if you're interested in some of that stuff, be careful to maintain the right balance, because we're supposed to be concerned about where souls spend eternity, not who's right and who's wrong. Amen. It's a, we get off track. I travel around the country. I run into young Christians. We got some young Christians in here. I run into some young Christians that are more concerned about what's cool or what's in style than where their friends are going to spend eternity. Like that song Evie sang last night. If you really got a friend, you sure don't want them to end up in hell. If you're a real friend. Fight the good fight of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Bible says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable servant. We act like presenting your body a living sacrifice. Well, a preacher's supposed to do that, you know. And that living holy thing and acceptable to God, that is meritorious above and beyond the call of duty stuff. But that's not what that book says. That Bible says, due to what Jesus Christ did on the cross to make salvation, to make the redemption of your soul, to make the forgiveness of your sins available to you, it's only reasonable that you live for Him. Right. Amen. And it is. And that's why I'm glad today that we can fight the good fight of faith. It's reasonable. Right. We ought to. But man, I tell you what, we ought to want to. 500 years ago, people were dying so we could have a King James Bible today. Amen. I say, you appreciate that? Well, if you do, then you'll read it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you do, you'll hide its words in your heart that you might not sin against God. If you appreciate what some others did, fighting a good fight of faith, you'll study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Amen. All right, just 3 points tonight. I know it's hard to believe. There's 37 sub-points, but only 3 main ones.
Amen.
Good fight of faith. I know that gets me fired up, man. But the good fight of faith isn't, maybe it's not what you think. It'd be easier if it was a fist fight. It'd be easier if it was some kind of battle. But it's not. It involves your whole Christian life. It involves every single day submitting yourself to God. It involves this. Number one, do good. Do good. That's complicated. That's deep. Isn't it? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 15. This is the good fight of faith right here. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Boy, I thank God that after 4 days of being in this church, it wasn't much of a sacrifice for people to let loose a little bit and spend a little time giving thanks for the goodness and greatness of God tonight. But that Bible says that this flesh considers that a sacrifice. Look at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. Good fight of faith tonight is just purpose in your heart to do good. Let me help you with that. Let me help make that easier. Listen, when I got a hold of the fact that it might be possible to hear my Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that did something for me. I mean, I'm so glad to be saved. I told you already this week, I didn't even know I was going to heaven for a couple weeks. I'm just so glad I wasn't going to get what I deserve in a lake of fire. Amen. My motivation is gratitude for not going to hell. It isn't rewards. It isn't inheritance. It isn't ruling and reigning. Thank God for everything that comes with it. But I am not over the fact that I'm not going to burn. Because I deserve to. And then that God might take somebody like not just me either. Amen. Somebody like us, and if we'll submit ourselves to His will and His way, we could hear from the lovely Lord Jesus Christ when this thing is said and done. We could hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Doesn't that fire you up, man? How can I get better than that? But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well pleased. You might hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we are. But that "well pleased," that's what He said about His Son in Matthew chapter 3. Yeah, yeah. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you comprehend that it's possible that you could be well-pleasing to God? That it could be said of you by your Heavenly Father the same thing that was said about the sinless Son of God? Amen. That's a good fight of faith tonight. That's ought to motivate you. But he was just full of all these real deep things, man. And things like this. David, the wrong road never turns out at the right place. That is simple, isn't it? Amen. That's the kind of stuff that worked for me. Amen. That's the kind of stuff that I remembered. Like this. It's never right to do wrong. No. I said never right to do wrong. See, we live in a society that believes in situation ethics. We live in a society that says the ends justifies the means. I'm sorry to have to report that a large percentage of professing Christians in this age believe the same thing. Well, we'll just twist the rules a little bit. We'll just do this. We'll bring in the ungodly music to bring the sinners in. I don't think God's pleased with that.
Right.
Amen. We'll just lower all our standards so that the sinners will feel comfortable. The sinners know that Christians are supposed to have standards. Amen. If you dress like you're at a bar, amen, why would they come in here? They know we're supposed to be different. If they're looking for something different, they're not going to look here. Amen. Amen. It's the end does not justify the means to God. God is interested in the means. God says in 1 Samuel 15 that obedience is more important than sacrifice. We look at the end. Whatever we got to do to accomplish some result. God's in charge of the results. God's interested if we'll. He really, the bottom line is, God wants to know, will we do it His way or our way? No man can serve two masters. But every man, woman, boy, and girl is serving one. And if it's not him, it's the other guy. Amen. Oh, he wanted to do it. His, I will, five times. Isaiah 14, Lucifer, I'm going to do it my way. God says, no, you're not. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell. God's interested in us doing it his way. That's what brings honor and glory to God. Amen. It ain't going to get us ahead in this world. Amen. If the most important thing to you is prospering by this world's standards, man, you're in for a disappointing ride. But if you can maintain the spirit of the testimonies that went in here tonight and just recall how God's been so good to you, man, you're light years ahead of the rest of this world. And they'll see it. That young man right there is light years ahead of 99% of the people that are alive on the planet today. Because when it's said and done, son, you're going to heaven. When it gets to the end of this thing, that's all it's going to matter. We need to, well, let me give you this illustration. I'm a brand new Christian, been out of jail just a couple months. I'm on a pre-sentence investigation, waiting to go to federal penitentiary. I deserved it. I pled guilty after I got saved. I withdrew my not guilty plea. Amen. I thought we're Christians, you know, weren't supposed to lie. I hadn't been in church long enough to realize that a lot of them still do. But I'm trying to get a job, and I can't get a job because I don't have a resume. Everywhere I went, you know, I hadn't worked since I got out of the Army, which was like 15 years before. And they didn't believe me, you know, that, in America, man, you can live off the fat of the land, believe me, if you're willing to be a criminal. So I didn't have a job, but I needed to move because, you know, my pastor told me, he said, look, you live in the same place, the same people, everybody knows where you're at, and you know, you're going to be exposed to old friends and old habits, and you need to have a change of scenery. That's what some people need. Relocate. I wanted to relocate. I wanted to move out of the ghetto in North Dayton where I got busted and get closer to the church and around the new family that God had given me. But I couldn't get a place. I couldn't rent an apartment. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a job, so I couldn't get a place. I couldn't get a place because I didn't have, it was a vicious circle. It went on several months. I finally went to a place and I told them I needed to rent an apartment and they told me how much it was and I said, I'll take it. And I set up a date to move. I was going to come back with what they wanted, paperwork wise and, money, down payment, all that stuff. I had some money. Money's the easy thing, man. I went into this bar across the street from where I was arrested and the feds had, you know, ripped out all the phone lines and everything. This was before the cell phone era. And I walk into this bar, they're playing country western music, and they had a phone booth. I mean, one that had a door to close and stuff. And I didn't think about it. I hadn't been in there. I didn't drink. But I went in there, I went to the back, and I stood at the phone booth, and I called my pastor, and the assistant pastor at the time. And man, there's some hillbilly music playing. And I said, hey, Brother Tom. He said, where are you? And then I realized, this isn't cool. And I stepped in a phone booth, shut the door. I said, never mind that. I said, I got good news. I got a house. I got an apartment. I get to move. And man, the church had been praying. And people had been stopping by. And I'm not getting high. I'm not doing the stuff I used to do. But I don't know how long I could have held out. I don't know. My flesh is wicked too, you know. And I said, I'm gonna move. I got an apartment. He said, when can we move? We'll move you. I said, well, I can move next week. I said, all I gotta do is, I need to show them, paperwork, tax receipts, whatever it is, 10, what do you call that? 1099s, whatever that tax form is. I still don't know. I'm in the ministry. And proof that I had a job. And I said, I know a friend down the inner street. He's got a concrete company, and I'm going to go down and see him, and he'll give me all the paperwork to do, and I'll take it over and drop it off at the place. And it was all going to be falsified documents. And I'm sitting there telling the pastor this like it's no big deal. He got real quiet. When a preacher gets quiet, something's up. And I thought about what I was saying. I mean, I wanted to move. Was it a good thing? Yes. Was there a reason for my, spiritual survival to move? Yes. That was good. All my motives were right. But was it right for me to turn in falsified documents so I could move? He got real quiet and I said, oh, I guess that would be like lying. He said, yeah, that's what it'd be, Bro Dave. Man, I was bummed out. I said, well, forget the whole thing then. I didn't find no... God's not interested in us doing things our way. He's interested in doing things the right way. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it's a good fight of faith in this day and age with this stinking flesh just to do things God's way, to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God's well pleased. Hallelujah. You know, a week later, a guy gave me a job. A guy at the church gave me a job. And then 3 days after that, I got a better apartment for cheaper money because I waited and did it God's way. God honors that thing. We need to learn to do right, to do good, even when nobody's watching. Of course, if you believe the Bible, there's no days like that. I mean, we're Bible believers, right? Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God knows what's going on in your heart. We believe that, don't we? We believe the Bible. That makes it all that much more important that we get in on a good fight of faith and understand that the first step to that thing isn't getting good at martial arts or marksmanship. It's getting a hold of the fact that God expects us to do right, to do good. I was coming out of this place that I worked one time. I'd only been saved about 3 years, and I got a phone call, and it made me very upset. Very upset, and I got up, I slammed the phone down, and then one time this thought came across my mind, one time, it occurred to me to go down to a little bar that I passed every day. I hadn't had a drink, I hadn't had any dope, about 4 years, and I was going down there to get a double shot of Jack Daniels. That's the only thing I could think of to do. I was so mad. I got up from my job, slammed the phone down, walked past the boss, past the owner, past the time clock. I didn't care if I got fired. I didn't care about nothing. I got out in the parking lot. I put that truck in reverse. I got out in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm going to tell you what God did for me because I submitted myself to preaching week in and week out. I could picture Satan going before the throne of God like he does in Job 1. Yeah. And I could see it in my mind. I could see the devil pointing down at me and saying this to God. See that? I told you I could break that boy. I told you that it wasn't worth what Jesus Christ did on the cross for him. I told you I could get him. And I could imagine in my mind's eye the devil laughing in God's face as I'm on my way down to have a drink. I'm going to tell you what, man. I put that thing back in a drive, and no matter how mad I was, no matter what I wanted to do, the thought of the devil mocking God because of my weakness wasn't acceptable. Amen. I went back in, got right with the boss, got right with the time clock, and I never been tempted like that again. That's how you need to look at it. That devil's looking at us. He's the accuser of the brethren. Who do you think he's accusing us to? He's accusing us of the one that went to the cross of Calvary for you and I. That'll keep you on the straight and narrow. You got to look past. Oh, will my wife find out? Will my husband find out? Will my preacher find out? Will my pastor? Hey, God knows. That sounds simple enough. But the Bible says to do good is a sacrifice. Okay? That Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's call it what it is. Let's realize tonight that it is a sacrifice. Amen. And let's be good soldiers and get in on the good fight. Good fight of faith is doing right no matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they're doing down the street that way. I'm not talking about the other crowd. It doesn't matter what our crowd's doing.
Right.
You do right.
Amen.
And that's the good fight of faith. All right? That's number one. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says this. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say abstain from evil. You know why it doesn't say that? Because then you could say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. This is not subjective. This isn't based on how you think or how you feel. When it says abstain from all appearance of evil, here's what that means. How many of you ever heard of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law. They got Murphy's Law in California? Amen. You know how it goes then, don't you? Anything that can go wrong will. That's really the law of the flesh. We are under a curse. Do you understand that? Anything that can go wrong will. Murphy's Law. How many of you know what Mrs. Murphy's Law is? You know it. You just didn't know she added it. And at the worst possible time. That's the testimony of the wife. Amen. Not only will it go wrong, but it'll go wrong at the worst possible time. You know what Murphy's Law is for a Christian? Anything you do, say, where, place you go, listen to, things you talk about, anything that can be taken wrong or used as an excuse to reject Jesus Christ will be. That's why we're supposed to, we've got liberty and we're under grace. And no, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, most people, they're not gonna abide by that. But I'm preaching to you tonight, and I'm trying to encourage you to get in the good fight of faith. And I'm going to tell you what, that's not as easy as it sounds, but it's doable. Amen? People are watching us. Man, don't you know? Don't you know that this little community is taking note of these meetings? Don't you know, not only have they gotten used to you being in church now on Sunday and Wednesday, not only have they gotten used to the fact that you've been here for 4 days, they're going to drive by tomorrow and go, oh man, they finally left. They're noticing that you don't leave until 11 o'clock at night. Amen. You know what that world wants? They're looking for something real. And they're hoping it's here. But the devil's got them critical and skeptical. People are watching, looking for flaws, looking for reasons to say, see, I knew, they're no different than we are. Well, we sure are supposed to be. We're supposed to be. Amen. Boy, we said it last night. Don't you dare be somebody's excuse to reject Jesus Christ. If you're not going to live for God, don't tell anybody you know me. If you're saved and you're doing things that bring reproach on the saved, don't tell them you go to Rialto Bible Baptist Church. Matter of fact, don't even tell them you know Jesus Christ at all. Till you get don't you dare be someone's excuse to say they ain't got nothing. They ain't no different. I live better, cleaner than they do. And there's people that can say that about some Christians. Amen. That Bible says this. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? That means if it looks wrong, don't do it. If it could be taken wrong, it would be. We want to walk that stinking line with this world. We want to nitpick everything. Why don't we get away from the edge? Get away from the edge. Get away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why do we got to live within sight of the only thing that God tells us to stay away from? That's how we walk in this world. And that book says, I don't care what everybody else does, but for you guys, for us that believe this book, that we claim to believe this book, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a good fight. Amen. Last of all, I know you can't believe it. I can't either. Last of all, Mark 19.
Preach it, Pastor.
Amen.
Mark chapter, what'd I say? Mark 19?
Yeah.
Stand when you have Mark 19. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. No, I'm kidding, man. Sit down. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Here's what the Lord said. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee and have that compassion on the, he's talking to the maniac Gadara. Amen. What did he tell him to do? Save that boy from a mess. He said, go home to thy friend. You know what good fight of faith is? Telling other people about your Savior. Amen. He didn't send this guy to a soul-winning course. He didn't send this guy to a program. He said, look, he said, I want to go with you. He said, no, I got something for you to do. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them. Good fight of faith is telling them.
Amen.
What great things the Lord has done for thee. And have that compassion on thee. Say, that doesn't sound too tough. Are you doing it? Some of us can quote a lot of things other than Bible verses. Ain't going to help this lost and dying world a bit. But what are you doing to tell them about the wrath to come? Have you told them about your Savior and what great things He's done? And if not, why not? Who are you living for? Yourself? Who are you anyway? I'm going to tell you what, we're a bunch of glorified dirt balls is what we are. I mean, then, weren't we made from the dust of the earth? Man, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, wouldn't none of us have nothing to smile about? Amen. Be happy about. Amen. Thank God, man. But other people need to know. Amen. Somebody told you. Somebody came to a jail at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and they could. There's no person that could ever tell that appreciated it less at the time than Dave Spurgeon. I told Brother Gretchen, I said, there's probably nobody that he's ever preached to in one of them prisons that if he got done preaching, he looked at that guy right there and said, that boy right there is going to hell. There's probably nobody that he ever preached to that probably seemed less likely to get it, but I got it.
Amen.
Because somebody told me, you weren't born saved.
Amen.
You're saved here today. Somebody lived it. Somebody witnessed. Somebody told you. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody gave you a tract. God wants to use you.
Amen.
That's the good fight of faith. Amen. Can you? Can you? I said, have you? And let me ask you now, can you? Can you tell somebody what great things the Lord has done for thee? And have that compassion on thee? If you can't, how can you be saved? For you to be saved, you had to know that you're a sinner. You had to know that your sin was going to put you in hell. You had to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're saved, you had to know that. Maybe you can't argue with the cults. Who cares? Go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee.
Amen.
That's a good fight of faith. Amen. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You needed the truth. Other people need the truth. They need to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free them from the lies of the devil and the chains of sin and eternity in a lake of fire. Say, well, I'm not real good at memorizing Bible, and I never went to Bible school. Well, you can tell them what He did for you. Anybody can do that. You should be able to. Listen, fight the good fight of faith. Here's what it's not. It's not fixing bayonets and charging the gates of hell. If that's what it was, we could get recruits. We could, man. We could give some stirring message and people volunteer. Yeah, let's go get them. But the good fight of faith is living according to the Word of God day in, day out. And that takes more integrity than being willing to give
Amen.
Your life. The good fight of faith is purposing in your heart to do good, to do right in a time when the world says anything goes. And boy, you know about that here, don't you? Amen. Everybody knows about it. And I can't believe it, but we live in a day and age where Christianity seems to believe that living holy is no big deal. And friend, it's still a big deal to God. We're not supposed to think we're better than everybody, but we're supposed to point them to somebody that is. The Bible says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And if you'll get a hold of that, man, you're in on the good fight, because most people aren't. Situation ethics is not believing the Bible. Amen. It's doing good. It's getting anything out of your life that might hinder you from being a light in a very dark, very lost world. Anything in your life. Well, I don't see anything wrong. This isn't sin. Listen, if it would be a stumbling block, the good fight, a good soldier would abstain from that thing so they could make a difference. Good fight of faith is telling somebody the truth. What's the truth? There's hope. Yeah. They don't have to die and go to hell. This world's so confused. This world's been, our country's been lied to. This world's been lied to by religion. This world's been lied to by politics. This world's been lied to by Hollywood. This make-believe entertainment mentality. They don't believe anything's true. And we've got the truth. But it's a fight, man. The good fight of faith is letting them know there's hope. Amen. I've been in a lot of fights. That's all I did. 15 years. The only thing I ever got good at. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I didn't have to become a wimp to be a Christian. I'm glad I can still fight. Only now it's not physical. Now it's the good fight of faith. Turn your Bibles. That way you look at a verse and we'll be done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 7, this is the testimony you ought to want to go out with. And Paul says this before he's executed, decapitated. Them idiots in Iraq didn't start that. It's been going on a long time.
Right.
He says this, I have fought a good fight. Yes. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now that right there, that's on the headstone of my hero in the faith. And we've talked about him already tonight. That is Brother Mike Hohnstein, Dean of the Bible Institute. Spent 28 years in a wheelchair and was the best Christian I ever knew in my entire life. When he went home to be with the Lord, and the Lord put me and his widow together and gave me three precious teenage children to finish raising, and we put together his headstone, we had that verse carved on the front of that headstone. And he did it. And he lived it. And I say that to say this, Brother John, if the Lord tarries, I hope somebody will be able to say that about me. That I fought a good fight. That I finished my course. And that I kept the faith. If you were to die tomorrow, would anybody say that about you? I mean, God forbid, Bible Christianity isn't convenient sometimes. God forbid your testimony that you leave behind be that of another spiritual hitchhiker. Just getting next to God when you had a problem. Let's get in on the good fight and make a difference. That book says iron sharpeneth iron. If you're not sharp, maybe it's because you're hanging around the wrong crowd. Let's be soldiers together for the glory of Jesus Christ. If you haven't been in on the good fight, if you haven't realized it's as simple as doing right and getting anything out of your life that might hinder somebody, and getting a hold of the fact that you're supposed to tell others, then maybe you need to get on an old-fashioned altar tonight and get off the sidelines and get in on the good fight. Amen. Amen. Say, why? Because everybody in here, there's somebody that they can reach that Brother Castro is never going to meet, that wouldn't give me the time of day. You know somebody that'll listen to you if you'll live it. Amen? I'm going to say this, and I'll be absolutely done. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, I've been preaching to Christians about getting in a good fight of faith. If you're in here and you're not saved, you're nowhere near the good fight. You don't even need to worry about that. Here's why. You're on a crash course with your Creator. And you're going to crash and burn. And Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you can have your sins forgiven. Not so that you can have an abundant life. Not so that you get victory over the problems in your life. Not to put a smile on your face. Not so that you can go to heaven when you die. That is not what Christ went to the cross for. He went to the cross for your sins. And if you don't let Him forgive your sin, if you don't comprehend right there that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, you're going to take your sin right to hell. And you're going to spend eternity with it. And you don't have to. Say, why do you got to talk about hell? Because this church is in on the good fight. And that's the truth. And we don't want you to go. What kind of church wouldn't preach on sin? What kind of church wouldn't warn people about hell? No kind. No kind. And the people that don't, that ain't a church, my friend. So what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do for Jesus Christ? Let's be good soldiers. Let's get in on the good fight of faith. And if the Lord tarries, amen, we'll see you next year. But, boy, I hope He comes back.
Amen.
But I tell you what He does. I want to be found faithful, don't you? I want Him to be pleased now, don't you? Let's bow our heads. Father, it has been good to be in Your house. Not just tonight, but these last nights. Thank You for the new friendships, Lord. Thank You for these folks, Lord God, that I've been around just long enough to care about and love. They've encouraged me. I hope they've been encouraged by my family and I. That is our calling. But Lord God, the blessing is ours. Lord God, we don't just give out, we get. We have got the best friends in the world. And it's all because of the great Savior. And if it seems like some of us have known each other longer than we have, it's because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that is bigger than all our differences. Father, I love You tonight. I pray for Pastor Castro and his family. I pray for Rialto Bible Baptist Church and every member. I pray, Lord God, that we'd adhere to the verses in Proverbs that say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lord, that's where we get in trouble, isn't it? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, Your book says, and You'll direct our paths. And we ask You to do that, Lord. We're a needy people, and that's what we need. We need You to direct our paths, Lord God, that things might turn out at the right place. And Father, we've got a promise from Your Bible that because of the redemption paid for by the cross of Calvary, that one day we'll be with You. But Lord God, You've commissioned us to fight the good fight of faith so that we'll bring some others with us. Help us. Help us to embrace our calling and our commission and live in a way to point this world to You. Father, I love You. Bless. Bless this church. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.